want to talk a little bit about a man who was known for his zeal, his obedience, but wasn't known so much for his doctrine. That's Gideon. He lived in the time of the judges, and he judged Israel. But he also made an ephod that caused Israel to sin. And it's important to have good doctrine. And there's a time coming when people won't be able to stand sound doctrine in the teaching. Doctrine is very important to all of us. But I think the thing that we want to be known for, besides our good doctrine, is our love and our dedication to the Lord. Judges. The angel of the Lord came and said under the tamarisk tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed the wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. It's interesting where Ophrah turns up, even in the scripture. How many of us know Ophrah, the TV personality? But this event took place in Ophrah. Some of you didn't get that joke. But that's okay. But he was threshing wheat in a wine press. And there's significance in that because you generally thresh wheat out in an open place where it can catch the wind. But in a wine press, it's a place that it's a low place. And he was doing that out of fear of the Midianites. And so his whole existence was one of fear and trepidation. And because the Midian had been ruling over them and taking everything that was possible to take, including their crops and their animals. And Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles that our fathers told us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us." And that's a fair question. I think some of us have asked the Lord the same question. Where are the miracles of old, the ones we've heard about from our families and relatives and friends? Where are those miracles? I think during the days of the 70s, early 70s, when there was a real move of the Spirit across this land, and some of us were privileged to witness that move. It was a sovereign move across the world. It wasn't trumped up. It wasn't manufactured. It wasn't manipulated. It was just something spontaneous that the Lord did. And we were privileged to witness that. But some of us have asked, where are those days that of old that we remember, and our parents and grandparents can talk about wonderful things that have happened in their ministries. But we need a fresh touch from the Lord in our day. Then the Lord told him, turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Haven't I not sent you?" So he first greeted him and said, "O man of valor, you mighty man of valor." And he was feeling anything but a person of valor and of courage. He confessed he was from the least of his tribe, and he didn't sense any calling at all to him, that he could even save himself, let alone save Israel. And yet the Lord has called us to greater things than we're capable of. And I think some of us could identify with him, with Gideon, that we feel underqualified, we feel incapable of doing what the Lord has called us to do. Or perhaps you feel overqualified. I know some certain congregations, they have parking service, and some CEOs of large corporations are out helping people park their cars into these big mega church complexes, and they feel the calling to do that. And certainly they could say, I'm overqualified to do such a menial job, and that kind of goes along with what Christine was begging all of us to get and do a part in the rotation with the children. And that is important to pitch in. Even if we're overqualified or underqualified, the Lord can be our strength and our sustenance. And the Lord will bless us. But Gideon felt underqualified. He felt he was from my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And then he wanted to see a sign. It's wonderful to get confirmation, but the Lord gave him that confirmation. But he wanted something even further. He wanted to have that first sign confirmed by another sign, another two signs. And that's the issue of the fleece. Many of us talked about or heard language like, let's ask God for a fleece of, and the whole matter of putting a skin out. We were talking about skins, about the sacrifice of the Samaritans, but this was where the ground would be wet, the fleece would be dry, and Gideon wanted to have the opposite. The ground would be dry and the fleece would be wet, to confirm. And that I believe that miracle of which God did for him in confirmation wasn't one of confidence, but one of weakness, of not being sure and not taking God at his word, because he had already consumed the sacrifice that he placed out, the kid he prepared, and the broth and the bread. God had already confirmed it, but God is merciful to us, and he goes the extra mile many times. Then he realized that he had been in contact, in face-to-face contact with the angel of the Lord. Many believe that the angel of the Lord here is a pre-visitation of Messiah, because he received worship, and angels don't receive worship. And he says, do not fear. Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Because he had seen the angel of the Lord. And then he stole to cut down the shrine to Baal. And what a state of apostasy Israel was in, to be worshiping one of the most loathsome religions one can think of, where they sacrificed their children. They had sex orgies right and left, and the whole thing was corrupt from beginning to end. And some would wonder how that Israel could have fallen so quickly, but they had. And so instead of going out in the daylight, he went at night to destroy the shrines. And they cut down the poles, the wooden image of that was standing beside it. And sure enough, then the morning came. They asked who did this, and he didn't readily admit, but some of his servants that helped him destroy it probably leaked the information to the neighborhood, and they wanted to kill him, of course, but his father Joash said, "Let Baal contend for himself if he's a real god. And would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let those who would plead for him be put to death by morning if he is a god. Let him plead for himself." Gideon was a courageous person who did deliver Israel and save them from the Midianites and cleared out the country from their oppression. But he did fall. He created this ephod that I mentioned earlier on, and that ephod cost Israel a sin. And yet we don't remember him for that so much, because they were living in the days when everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And I'm sure they didn't have readily the full revelation of God. But I'm sure someone must have told him that the ephod was only for the priestly families, the Levites, and he overstepped. And I think that we need to be careful in doctrine and teach correctly. But I trust that we'll be known for our obedience, like Gideon and his courage to obey the Lord under tremendous circumstances, and not turn to the right or the left. I want to look in another scripture. I believe that we need to have more love covering for those that are straying. And the Galatians 5, chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And just recently, someone visited the congregation, not a believer, and they were struck from what they were able to observe, the community that we share here. And it was a word of challenge and conviction to us, because we're not without our problems, without our faults and our failings. But I believe we do share a community that cares one for another. And when one of us tends to create some thing that's off in our sight, we still need to love them, because that's the fulfillment of the law: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then in Romans, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." I think we have to remember what the kingdom of God is all about. And we used to hear back in the 70s and 80s sermons on the kingdom of God and his power to change situations and mightily intervene in things that we could never even conceive of. And we need to be ready to be surprised by the joy of the Holy Spirit and realize what our fellowship is. First of all, it's not in eating and drinking, not but for righteousness and peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. We want to emulate the things that count for His kingdom and for his presence in our lives in this congregation. One of the things that most troubled Gideon was fear. And this land is full of fear, full of trepidation, full of caution, not defend this group, not defend that group. But the Bible, the most common command of the Word of God is, fear not. And I think that we need to submit ourselves to His encouraging power so we'd be free from the fear that plagues all of us. And in this day, one of the things that just from last night, Liz was with a group of people who were talking about the fear of Israel's existence. They said, quoting some leader, I believe it was Ben-Gurion, who said that Israel might last 150 years. Did anyone else hear that quote? The consensus was among the Jewish circle of friends that their fear is that Israel will last for 100 years. And what a sense of fear then that could create in that the whole effort here in this land would be for naught. And yet God, as I read Psalm 120, that God has His hand upon this country, and I don't believe He's going to allow another Holocaust to occur from the nations of the East or from the North. But that's something you find a pessimism, a fear across the land about Israel's even existence. And that's one of the things that they always strive for is the acceptance of the neighboring nations for Israel's existence, which seems like a given, but not its thriving, not its acceptance as a fellow nations, but for its very existence. And so let's not be known just for our correct doctrine, as important as that is. We want to strive for perfecting our understanding of the Word and for straight living. But let's be known for our courage and zeal and obedience to that Word and our love for one another. And may God help us in these days when there's so many movements are starting up that deny the centrality of Christ and His sacrifice and His death and resurrection. We celebrated today in the communion His death and His resurrection and His coming back again. And so let's be like Gideon, who responds to the Lord in courage and in obedience, and trusting the Lord that He'll take care of those fears and that sense of lack and what in confusion and fear that all of us might sense at one time or another, and trust Him to go before us and lead us into the next phase of our development in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we have examples from Your Word of people who were not perfect, who hadn't attained perfection, and none of us here have attained perfection. We have our failings, or have our sense of lack, and we need Your Holy Spirit to walk with us moment by moment. We need to know Your Word and understand it better. But Lord, help us to be known for our love. Help us to be known for our honest and open relationships with one another, and our growing in from day to day in your Spirit. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Your mercy, which extends from generation to generation. And we thank You for the saints that have gone before us, that have experienced Your signs and Your wonders. But Lord, we need a fresh touch from You in our day and age. We know that You brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Lord, there's many of us that need to be brought out of bondage in this day in a fresh manifestation of Your Spirit. We bless You and thank You, Lord, that You're on high. You're mighty to save, mighty to deliver. And we pray that if there are those here today that have yet to confess You as Lord and Savior, that they would do so at this moment and to receive You as King and Master. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen.